JP has a different connotation than Mark.
Exactly. So we're in chapter Perek Ches. Today is the 26th of December, 2017. It is the 8th day of Tevis. Right? Today's Tuesday. So the 8th day of Tevis, Tavshin Ayin Ches. And we're up to Perek Ches, the 8th parak of, and the story switches a little bit. The first 7 chapters were completely law, right? We've talked about this before a little bit, about the contrast of law and narrative over the course of learning Chumash. Law is obviously the mitzvah's part, narrative is the story. So until this point in Vayikra, it has been entirely law. It's been entirely things Hashem says Moshe. These are the korbanos that you have to know about, and these are the things that the Kohanim have to know about, and that's been all law. Then we get to Perek Ches, and Hashem gives Moshe instructions for the dedication of the Mishkan, that was really took place earlier, but for the dedication of the Kohanim. That's what's going on over the course of this parak. How are we going to establish the Kohanim? Really, and also anoint. I guess, and also anoint the Mishkan itself. That's true. That's in this parak as well. So the first thing that we point out is Kachas Aaron v'Yasbanav. Hashem tells him, take Aaron and his banav, v'Eis haBegadim v'Yashemen haMishkan. You take the Begadim, the clothing, and the Shemen haMishkan, v'Eis Par Chatas, v'Eis Shnei Ha'ilim, v'Eis Sal haMetzos. So you're going to take the par that's going to be the Chatas, and you're going to take the 2 aisles, the 2 rams, and the box of matzos. Those are the korbanos that you're going to do over the course of the process of sanctifying the Kohanim. So it's interesting. The chatas is used pretty often. When we lane on Yontif, or on Chol Moed, or on Rosh Chodesh, you always hear chatas. There's a chatas mentioned over the course of Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, etc. Why is that chatas brought? Why is it that on Rosh Chodesh we are bringing a public korban chatas? Anybody know? Anybody think about that?
Apparently we sinned.
There's something we did. There's something that's out there. So most sins are really private in nature. Now, yes, we do have the Azazel on Yom Kippurim that is sort of brought on behalf of everybody. But what is the purpose of the Chatas? I'm going to show you. So those actually serve specific purposes having to do, and it's a machlokas in the Gemara, what exactly qualifies for what. But they all have to do with Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash. They all are problems with the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, that people were tamei, or the animals were tamei, or there was some kind of problem there. So in order to atone for those problems, that's why those korbanos are brought. So that happens to be very convenient, because that we don't have to feel as bad that we don't bring those korbanos. Right? Those korbanos had to do with things going on in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that's why those korban chatases are brought. But what about here? Why is there a korban chatas brought for the Kohanim? So Bruce, you might want to seatbelt yourself in for this, because this is a topic. We're going to go back to a topic from Shmos that you were always very excited about. But so the Sforno comments here, Hiktim par hachatas. The Korban Chatas is brought first. Chatas is brought before the aisles. Why? Because kol chatas kodemus la'ola haba'ima. There's a rule, the Gemara tells Maseches Pesachim, that anytime you're obligated to bring a chatas and an ola, the ola is the burnt offering, the chatas is the sin offering, the chatas comes first. Why? Because until you have gotten atonement for your sin, there's not, you can't bring the ola, right? It's he doesn't say it here, but there's a concept, there's a phrase that comes up of tovel v'sheretz biyado. Anybody ever heard this term before? Yeah. You've been tovel v'sheretz biyado. What does it mean?
Don't hold it. Atonement thing when you're going into the mikveh.
Right. It means it's as if you were tovel. You went into the mikveh and you were holding a dead sheretz. Right. You're holding a dead creepy animal which would cause you to become tamei. So it's very nice you went to the mikveh, but when you came out of the mikveh, you're still holding the sheretz. Right. And guess what? It's still dead. So therefore, as soon as you come out, you become tummy right away. So it's the same, it's probably a similar concept to here. That if you bring the Korban Olas, but you haven't yet taken care of your account in terms of the Chatas, in terms of the sin offerings, so there's no purpose in doing so. So therefore, the Chatas has to come before the Ola. So far, so good. We have pasuk until. Fine. V'haysa chataso acher hamishchel par. And the chatas had to be brought after the acher ham. I'm in the Sforno. Right, so the Chatas was born after the anointment. Kemishpat Kohen Mashiach in accordance with the laws of the Kohen Mashiach. Right, Kohen Mashiach, as we learned, these technical details are going to be hard to remember. But as we learned in the very first parak of Vayikra, the third parak of Vayikra, it discusses the issue of the various Chatos that are brought for different people. That different people, different statuses, bring different Chatas. A Kohen Gadol, a leader, a melech, a nasi, so they have their own special chatas that they're brought. So now, he's the Kohen Gadol. Aaron gets anointed as the Kohen Gadol. He's now the Kohen Gadol, so he's got to bring the Kohen Gadol chatas. It's not enough to just bring a wimpy, normal Yisrael chatas. You have to bring the Kohen Gadol chatas, which is a par. Right? Paros are big animals. So now, he's got to bring the par. So therefore, it's brought after he's anointed. Aval, says the Sforno, Lo nichnas damu lifnim. The dam is not brought inside. Ki lo hayach cheto b'madregas roa sheitzarech lezeh. Because his sin was not at the high level that would require that. Because if you look at the details of the Kohen Gadol's chatas, I'm assuming this, I didn't actually check it out, but he would bring the Korban chatas, his special par Korban chatas, and then he would have to sprinkle it also inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Sorry, this is in Perek Dalet of Vayikra, right? You're going to speak Im Kohen Mashiach Echetel Hashmasa'am Ve'ekrivus chatas. So, that's the regular Mashiach. But to the Kodesh itself, sorry. They would sprinkle it to the Mizbeach on the inner part. That's in the beginning of Perek Dalet. So there he would have to sprinkle it inside the Kodesh, but that didn't happen here. So Sforno says, so what's going on here? On one hand, he's already anointed as the Kohen Gadol. He's going to bring the special Kohen Gadol Chatas, but he's leaving out a detail of the Kohen Gadol's Chatas, and that he's not sprinkling it inside the Kodesh of the Mishkan. So why? Says the Sforno, Ki lo hayach cheto b'madregas ro yishit tzarech lezeh. Because his sin wasn't that bad. Like we learned with those other chatases, like the real sins of the Kohen Gadol or the Nasi, that sin where the stuff does have to be sprinkled on the inside. So what's it talking about? What sin is he talking about? What sin is the Sforno referring to that is bad enough that he has to bring a Korban Chatas, but is not so bad that he doesn't have to sprinkle it in the Kodesh? So what sin did Aaron do? So the Sforno doesn't say. The Sforno itself, he didn't say Lashon Hara. It wasn't him. He was listening Lashon Hara for Miriam. But that doesn't happen for another book. What?
It's quiet.
No, he went along with the Chetes.
There you go. Right, nothing's happened to his sons yet either. That's not for another couple of prakim. But there you go. You hear it in the back.
There you go.
Right, that the chita egel. That Aaron bears some of the responsibility for the chita egel. Now, the Sforno doesn't say what it is. There is a English edition of Sforno that was put out by Rabbi Rafal Pelkowitz. Anybody know who Rafal Pelkowitz is?
Is that the one your wife has?
So, ever heard of Dr. David Pelkowitz? He's a pretty prominent psychologist. He gets around, he speaks, he's a scholar in residence in a lot of places. So, his father is Ira Fall Pelkowitz.
I heard him a couple weeks ago at...
He spoke in the Northeast.
In Graz.
Oh, you went to that? Oh, Graz. Okay. So he went to the Northeast. All right, so his father, Rabbi Rafal Pelkowitz, it's interesting, now it's Dr. David Pelkowitz, who's very prominent and known and teaches at YU, and everybody heard of him. Oh, and he has a father. 30 years ago, his father is one of the most prominent pulpit rabbis in the country. His father was the rabbi of the White Shul, your neck of the woods, in Far Rockaway. So his father, Rabbi Rafal Pelkowitz, who is still alive, still doing well, as far as I know, so he wrote a translation to the Sforno and includes his own footnotes on the bottom. So in the footnotes on the bottom, he comments that that this sin that's being referred to here is Aaron's involvement with the Chet Egel. So the then you got to raise the question then. Well, if he is involved with the Chet Egel,
why isn't that as serious?
Why isn't so bad, right? Why is it not so bad? But why? So on one hand, we're saying it's bad. On the other hand, we're saying, well, it's not so bad. Well, if you're going to put in the Chet Egel's league, you don't get much worse than that. So perhaps, so he suggests, Rabbi Pelkovin suggests that... he suggests that this is sforno lishitasso. What does the term lishitasso mean? Anybody have heard that term before? Lishitasso means according to his position, so that's why he's assuming according to his position. So what's his position with regards to the Chet Egel? So you gotta go take a look back in... and Sefer Shmos. So in the Sforno on Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Chaf Dalid, so the Sforno there makes a couple of points mitigating Aaron's involvement in the Chet Egel. The Sforno is one of the people that say, right, he was trying to stop them, and why did he just throw it into the fire? He didn't do anything before, and he figured if he just throws the gold into the fire, it'll just melt. Right? He was doing everything he could to stop them. Right? So the Sforno's read of that story is one of mitigating Aaron's involvement in the Chet Egel. So the Sforno says it was pretty bad, he didn't make the right decisions, and certainly if you look through Chazal, Aaron is criticized for being involved with the Chet Egel, but it wasn't so bad that it requires sprinkling inside of the Kodesh of the Mishkan. Okay, so that's the first Sforno on the Perek.
He was an agent of the bad thing, but he wasn't an intentional agent.
Okay. Okay, so now we continue on in Pasuk, in verse 8, 9, 10. So there, what do we have? We have the dressing up of Aaron, that Aaron is now being dressed. And he places the mitznefes arosh, the band, and he places on the, he puts the tzitz on. And then it says, Vayikach Moshe es Hashem en ha-mishka, v'yimshach es ha-mishkan, v'yaskol asher bo, v'yakadesh osam. So then Moshe, right, as soon as he finishes dressing Aaron, Moshe takes the oil that he's going to use to anoint and to sanctify the Mishkan. And what does he do? He sprinkles it on the Mishkan. Wait a second. He just got Aaron dressed. So I would think the next thing he would do, he's concentrating on Aaron right now. So why is the next thing he do not Aaron? Now he says, okay, Aaron, very nice that you're dressed. You stay there. I'm going to go consecrate the Mishkan. How does that work? And then he says, Vayas Yimenu Al Mishkan Shem Pamim. And he does that. And then he takes the oil and then sprinkles it on Aaron. So why is he going in that particular order? So the Ramban here says, because Moshe did this correctly, because when when he was commanded about making the shemen, which was in Shmos, umishkas posa, oh, you're going to anoint the oel, vs Aaron vs Banav timashech. It says you're going to anoint the oel, and Aaron and his sons you're going to anoint. Al kein lo ratzalim shoa hamishkan at shehilbish Aaron. Therefore, he didn't want to anoint the mishkan until he got Aaron dressed. Right? Why? Because that way he can do it very quickly. That way he will minimize any interruption between the two. The anointing of Aaron is put together with the anointing of the Mishkan. So if he anoints the Mishkan and then says, okay, let's see, let's open the drawer and let's see, what do you want to wear today? And, oh no, there's only one sock. Right? It's going to take him a little bit of time in order to get Aaron dressed. So because of that interruption that's going to take Aaron dressed, he therefore got Aaron dressed first in the Big Day Kahuna, sprinkled the Mishkan, followed that up by sprinkling the sprinkling Aaron, as is the order that it spells out in the Torah itself. So this idea of minimizing interruptions, this comes up. It came in the mezuzah shir the other day. Somebody asked about how long do you have to put up the mezuzah in a row in order to work off of one bracha? Right. So that's an interesting question. It's as long as you don't interrupt. It's similar to bedikas chametz. Right. You make one bracha bedikas chametz in the beginning, and you're really not supposed to interrupt until the entire thing is done in order to avoid a brachos issue. So the same thing with mezuzahs. It seems like the same thing here. Right. That he tried to minimize the interruption. He tried to make sure everything was set up so that there wouldn't have to be any interruptions, and he'd be able to follow the Torah in anointing both, right, one after another. Okay, if you go to Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says that Vayaz Mimenu Ala Mizbeach Shevavim, and he sprinkled it on the Mizbeach seven times. So the Ramban here also asks, where'd that come from, this idea of sprinkling? The Torah in Shmos, when it describes what Moshe is supposed to do in order to sanctify the Mishkan, it says to anoint. Didn't say anything, nobody said anything about sprinkling. So where did this idea of sprinkling come from? So the Rashi comments on that. What?
It was the same thing, basically. I suppose the act of sprinkling is the anointment.
So it's not. That's not what it says. It says, "Vayikach Moshe Hashem in Mishkan, vayimshach es haMishkan." Pasuk Yud. It says that he anointed the Mishkan. He rubbed it on the Mishkan. V'eskol asher bo, vayikadesh osam, vayaz mimenu al mizbeach shemim, and then sprinkled it on the mizbeach 7 times. Right. So it sounds like he did both.
So when the anointment is rubbing.
Yeah. He poured on.
Poured oil.
He poured oil. I mean, the exact. Yeah. It says anointed. So he anointed it, and then he sprinkled it. So where is this sprinkling from? So if you look at Rashi demonstrates his incredible brilliance and humility in the following words, where he says, "Lo yadati hichin estava bazal salal." He says, "I don't know where that came from." So I don't know. I don't know why he's doing it. So that, of course, leaves the door open for others to come along and say, well, the Ramban, namely the Ramban, comes along and says, well, I have the following idea, right? That's possible. It says you'll sanctify the altar, and the altar will become Kodesh HaKadoshin, right? That it become, so what does that mean? It's going to become Kadosh by the... the way that it becomes usable by the anointing, but it doesn't become kadosh until you sprinkle on it. That the altar is going to become more holy than the other things that only that simply got anointed. Right, it requires extra things with regards to you. Just as Aaron didn't just have the begadim put on, Aaron also was sprinkled on him. Because the mizbeach, which has things brought on it, is no less than the person who's bringing something on it. So if you're going to put an extra sprinkles onto Aaron, certainly you should put extra sprinkles onto the mizbeach. That's what my kids ask for when they have the ice cream, the extra sprinkles. It's more kadosh that way. Yeah.
Was he saying anything during this process? Are there any words spoken? Or is it just
I don't know. It doesn't say. If there are any words said. The Ramban continues on and says we have a similar thing by Yom Kippur. Why is Yom Kippur that we sprinkle the blood 7 times? That we see that the sanctification is done with sprinkling. That's what we do on Yom Kippur. So too, certainly when we begin, we do it with sprinkles. Was there anything said? So then there was. Right. Achas, 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 viachas. Although the truth is, did he... It says he counted, right?
Yeah.
It says he counted, right? So he's right describing. Was there anything said along with it? So it seems like not. And I would suggest that, you know, the actions speak for themselves. That words cannot quantify the sanctity that is going on here.
People were watching this?
I think that this people were watching. That was at the end of the last parak, it says that he gathered...
Okay. Did you say anything about the nature of the oil? Was it pure? Purified oil, or
is there sort of... One second. Wasn't it? It's the end of this parak. Yeah, it's the end of this parak that he gathered everybody together. What?
If everybody...
Yes? Would you say, was there anything special about this oil?
Yeah, like purified oil.
Yeah, I don't know if we... Gotta look back in Shmos if it describes what the oil is. We said in Shul on Hanukkah, at Chal Shittus though, that's where we talk about. The Rav Scheinemann actually has a piece where he discusses that the oil that was used for the menorah actually had to be more pure than other oils. It had to be the very, very, very first strip that was brought out, and he gives a pshat as to why that would be. So you gotta look and see what the language is. So there's actually a shaila about that. Rav Moshe has a tshuva with regards to Hanukkah candles. Why do we light menorah on Hanukkah? So there's three reasons. We talked about this at shul between the chamar one night. Three reasons why to light menorah that I brought down. Number one, zecher l'nes, right? Number two is, well, zecher l'muhammad, zecher l'nes. Right, and then the third one, which we don't think about so much, is Zecher LeMikdash, right, as a recollection as what was done in the base of Mikdash. So if that's the case, should that then therefore mean that it should be better to use oil than to use other things? And then Rav Moshe says, well, not really, because if it was really Zecher LeMikdash, you would have to use the special oil that was used for the menorah. We don't see anybody that's makbid on that, so therefore you see that we don't really assume that it has to be Zecher LeMikdash. So whatever, there's different ways. So you have to look back in the language in Shmos as to see if they make any requirements there as to what kind of oil is going to be used. Okay, so Pasuk Chaf Beis here, Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, it says, Vayakriv es ha'ayil hashini el hamiluim. So you're going to bring the second ayil, the ayil of the oil of the inaugurations. So the truth is, this entire perek is known as the inauguration perek. All of these things were miluim. So why is this one known as the ayil hamiluim, the ram that is a miluim? If all of these karbanos were known as the miluim, that is the question on the floor. So the Ramban says, he says, well, v'nei kol karbanos elu bayim l'malei es yadam k'dichsiv v'zeh davar yisher taselam l'kayim li l'kach par echad ben bakar. Right, all these things were brought about Nikra Ayil Hashini Ayil Meliba Vorshu Sof Pakarbanus Halapas. It was the last one that was brought. So as soon as the last korban is brought, what do we say about the Beis HaMikdash? It's now, or the Mishkan, it's now open for business. So this is known as the Ayil Hamiluim, because this is the Ayil that allowed the Mishkan to now be open for business. That's why it's referred to in that way. And then he adds in Ki Achatas L'Chaper Al Mizbeach L'Kacho, that the Chatas was there to offer to kind of be Mechaper, and therefore it's not known as the miluim, and therefore v'nei hashlamim levadim bayim al hamilui hayadayim l'kachi kru miluim. But this one, I'm not sure why it's called. I guess maybe, was it a shlamim? I thought it was an ola. See any comment about that? Yeah, this was a shlamim toda. I'm not sure why I thought it was. I think the previous one referred to as an ola. So this one was known, it was just in order to bring kavod. And of course, it was just brought in order to bring kavod. So therefore, it's going to be known as the ayil hamiluim. Okay, another thing that's interesting, go to pasuk chaf ches. Yeah, chaf ches. So pasuk chaf ches. In verse 28 it says, "Vayikach Moshe osam yalka peyim vayikter mizbecha al ha'olam miluim heim lerech nichoach yishehu la'Hashem." Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. So the pasuk tells us Vayakter hamizbeach al haola, that they offered on the mizbeach the ola. So what does it mean the ola? So the truth is, there are parts of it that were not necessarily offered on the mizbeach. So Rashi says Moshe shimish. Moshe did this entire thing for the 7 days. Right? And number two, Rashi comments, after the Ola, and we don't find that the Shuk of the Shlamim Kari B'chol Makam Chutz Mizeh. We don't find that the Shok, what is the Shok? The Shok is the thigh. So what normally happens to the thigh of the Korbanos? So that often, that's supposed to go to the Kohanim. Now why the Torah is referring to that as an Ola, as the Rashi is referring to it as a Shlamim, I'm not sure. That part I'm unclear about, I gotta work that out. But Rashi comments here, Moshe was the one who was doing these for all 7 days, and the Shok is put on the Mizbeach. So the Sifsei Chachamim, two questions on this. Number one is why. Why is it that the Shok was offered on the Mizbeach when it normally gets given to the Kohanim?
Right.
The second question that Sifsei Chachamim asks is, says, why did we wait until Pasuk Chaf Ches to say that Moshe did all of the Karbanos over the course of these 7 days? The seven things have been discussed since the beginning of the parak. So why did Rashi wait until this point to say that Moshe is the one doing all of the avoda? That's the question that the Sisi Chamim asks. So Sisi Chamim answers, says, well, why is it that the shok didn't go to the Kohanim and was offered on the Mizbeach? So it suggests the Sifzi Chachamim, right? The two questions answer each other. It says, why is it that the shok isn't being given to the Kohanim? Because Moshe is offering it. Why is it being put on the Mizbeach? Because Moshe is offering it, and Moshe, despite all, he's really a great person, and we really love Moshe very much, but he happens to not be a Kohen. So because he's not a Kohen, he can't have the shok. So why is, so this idea here, so the Rashi comments, the shok is never put on the Mizbeach, it's always given to the Kohanim, except for now. Why is it that now it's being put on the Mizbeach and not being given to the Kohanim? Because guess what? For all 7 days, Moshe was the one that was doing the Avoda, and it wasn't Aaron.
The dedication of the Mishkan, is it 7 days or 8 days?
Well, 7 days.
23rd of Adar to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Moshe is taking the Mishkan up and down for 7 days, and then on the eighth day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Moshe transfers authority to Aaron, anoints him, and like that. So how many days are we talking about of the dedication? Seven.
The 7 days. Where did you just saw like a note on that or something?
In page 583. It mentioned during the 7 days of dedication from the 23rd of Adar until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Moses served as the Kohen Gadol and performed the entire service.
Okay.
So I was just questioning, because I read in the past that it was an 8 day dedication.
Uh-huh.
So
it could be that this is the eighth day. I didn't get into this discussion because I couldn't. But there is a major discussion what the order is going on here. There's a Ramban and the Rashi who are following their regular positions, where Rashi says everything in the Torah could be out of order. Well, not everything, you know, but Rashi has no qualms with putting things in different orders than it appears in the text. And the Ramban says, no, everything has to be in order. So the Ramban tries to organize that everything's in order, and Rashi doesn't seem to mind very much. And there it puts the dates on it. Other than saying that there is a discussion about it, I don't really have much of an answer. I can't think in terms.
How many days are in Adar?
Well, they are known as the Shivas HaMiluim, the 7 days of the Miluim. That's what Rashi makes the comment on here. Right? It is the 7 days of Miluim. When did those days start is one question. Number two is right, when they end, which part of the question is how many days are in Adar. But even if there are only 29 days in Adar, you're still getting from 23 to 29. It's still 7. The 23rd day counts, right? Yeah, that's why I was thinking. Right. You got to use your fingers for this one. But yeah, trust me, you use 7 fingers in order to count those days. So how do you then get to... what happens to Rosh Chodesh Nisan? I'm not sure.
Is that counted or not?
Right. So the truth is, these are the 7 days. How does the next parsha begin? The next parsha begins with the words, Vayhi Bayom Hashmini. It's then the eighth day, which I guess is the day that Aaron takes over. Right, that must be the day of Rosh Chodesh, but we'll have to save that for the next parak when we get up to it. Okay, we still have one more thing I want to just cover is the last Ramban in the parak. The last Ramban in the parak comments that what does it say in the last pasuk? The last pasuk says Vayas Aaron Uvanav is called very much Yitziva Hashem Biyad Moshe, that Aaron did all of the things which Hashem commanded Moshe. So the Ramban points out that until this point, it has said every time, Kasher Tziva Hashem Biyad Moshe. As Hashem commanded Moshe. I mean, they did exactly what was commanded to them. So what what's happened in this pasuk? So in this pasuk it says, they did all the things which were commanded Biyad Moshe. Comes the Ramban and says, Aval Bekan Bifnei Shehosifu Al Mitzvah Lo Amar Kein, Ki Lo Asu Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Now until this point it says, they did as it was commanded. Here it just says, they did everything that was commanded. But it changed. There's a nuance there. It doesn't say as it was commanded. They just say everything was commanded. Why is that? It says aval asu kol advar mesher tziva Hashem va'od nosaf aleihem mashar be'ishar shel tzivos. Because I don't want to spoiler alert. But plus they did more than what was commanded to them because Elazar and Nadav and Avihu did more. They added a Eish Zara. They added this this strange fire that was put in. So as they were doing everything piece by piece, it says they did as was commanded. But then at the end, when it combines it together, it says they did everything that was commanded, but not as it was commanded. Was they added something else in. And what is it that they added in? So that we're going to have to wait a little bit. Really just two prakim. I think it's the second parak of Shmini to learn about that issue. Okay? Let's stop here. Oh no, it's the next parak. Parak test. We're not going to have to wait too long. All right, have a good day.
Okay, have a good day.